Please grab your song, not your songbooks, your Bibles. Please grab your Bibles. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4 tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I know on the screen tonight, we overlooked this morning Kevin and Mary Bruner, our missionaries to the Philippines. And so let's keep them in prayer. They're doing a good work there. And we are grateful to support missionaries all around the world. But the Philippines is a little bit special to me because it's special to my brother. In a couple weeks, he'll be coming back, or about a month, he'll be coming back with his wife from the Philippines. And so he's going over to get her in a week, or actually this upcoming week, he's going to be leaving and he's going to begin his wife. They've been married for over a year, but the process of getting a visa to get her here has been a long process. I'm happy for him. And then in addition to that, my best friend in college for many years was a missionary in the Philippines. And so I've always had a heart for that country. I you know, would love to be able to go someday and visit. But after Connie got back and talked about how hot it was, I don't know if I want to go. But it's definitely a country that's wide open to the gospel, and they surely are eager to hear the message of the gospel. And so keep the Bruners in prayer in the Philippines. 2 Timothy chapter 4, follow along with me. I'm going to read down through verse number 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Tonight I'm going to preach a simple message called Preach the Word. Preach the Word. I'm kind of preaching to myself a little bit, encouraging myself to just stay on focus with what God has called me to do. But in addition to that, I want you to realize that preaching is important, and having the Word of God manifested to us through preaching is so needed in each and every one of our lives. And so tonight, preach the word. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I stand behind the sacred desk to do exactly what you've called me to do, and that's to preach the word. Lord, I cannot do it without your help. I'll fail miserably. I am, as the psalmist said, just made of dust. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Lord, I need a filling of your spirit. So I pray that you'd empty me of self. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. I pray that I would be anointed to preach your word this evening to make an eternal difference in our hearts and minds. Lord, we thank you so much for the gathering tonight. We thank you for the word of God we hold in our hands. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would have free course in each and every heart. Holy Spirit of God, please use me as a vessel to bring forth the word this evening. And may we leave church saying we heard from you. We have something that we can take with us and apply to our lives. Please bless the preaching of the word of God. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I said on Wednesday night, I believe the two most important books to the local church are the book of Acts and the book of 1 Corinthians. Personally, my favorite book of the Bible is the book of Ephesians. However, the books that I spend probably the most time in are 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. Why is that? Well, those books were written to pastors. They're called the pastoral epistles, and Paul is writing to his preacher boy, if you will, his protege, his soon-to-be successor. He's writing to Timothy, and he's telling him that he's about ready to finish his course and to complete his race as a servant of God. Paul is writing from a prison cell, and he sends this epistle to Timothy, a young preacher pastoring a great church. And he wants to leave his young preacher boy with some closing thoughts. He says, Timothy, I'm getting ready to finish my course. I'm getting ready to end my ministry. I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. And I know there's laying up for me a crown of righteousness. Timothy, I'm getting ready to see the one I've preached about all these years. And Timothy, I just want you to know that I'm going to be gone soon and you're going to be all alone. You're not going to have me to call up for advice. You're not going to have me to write a letter to and to get some counsel about how to run that church. Timothy, you are going to be in my shoes, fulfilling my ministry that I'm passing off on to you. Those are big shoes to fulfill, of course. The Apostle Paul started churches all over the place. Used of God to write 13 or 14 epistles of the New Testament. We're so thankful for his ministry, but he's about ready to put up his pen, to lay down his life, and be received up into glory. But before he does that, he writes this second epistle to Timothy, a young pastor. And he says, I charge you, Timothy. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick and the dead. I charge you. I want to give you one last departing statement. And long well after I'm gone, Timothy, remember my advice. Here's my charge, Timothy. My charge is preach the word. Just keep preaching the word. Preach the word when you're on the mountaintop. Preach the word when you're in the valley. Preach the word when it's popular. Preach the word when it's unpopular. Preach the word when no one else is listening. And preach the word when you're experiencing growth and success. You just keep preaching the word, Timothy. In season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But just preach the word. And that is still the call and the charge to every pastor of a local Bible-believing, Christ-honoring local church, is to preach the word. That's what we need to get back to, is preaching the word. No, none of these, you know, self-help seminars, okay? I know they can do some good, but the greatest good is just standing up and preaching the word. None of these churches that put away the Bible and use some periodical, some magazine, or some little book to replace the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Now listen, we use some of those things. In our discipleship class, we use some of those things. But none of those things replace the Bible. They're just aids to the Bible. But we've got to preach the Word. It's so important that we, in our nation, get back to preaching the Word. So, Bill, you've been charged by Almighty God to preach the Word. So I'm preaching to myself a little bit tonight. We're preaching the word. We've got to be instant in season, out of season. We've got to preach it whether people love it, lump it, or like it, or leave it. Okay? You got to preach it. You've got to preach the entire word. Of course, there's things in the Bible that some people are going to get upset with, but you got to preach the word, Timothy. Timothy, preach the word. He says there will be a day and age, and I believe that day and age is fully come, where they will not endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap unto themselves teachers which having itching ears. I get concerned when I hear people say to me, well, I'm looking for a church where I'll feel comfortable. That worries me. I'm looking for a church where, you know, I will, you know, never be challenged, where I'll always agree with everything the pastor says. When people are looking for comfort as the number one reason to choose a church, that frightens me. That scares me. That tells me that they're not choosing their church based upon sound doctrine. A lot of people are choosing their churches, where they attend church, based upon how that makes them feel. And that's why the contemporary Christian music is so popular today, because it makes people feel good. It makes them excited. It causes them to have a rush. But all it is a Christian rock concert. And so people are choosing churches like that because they want that experience. But we're not supposed to choose a church because we want a certain experience. We're not supposed to choose the church where we go because it makes us feel a certain way. We're supposed to choose a church based on how in line with the Bible is it. How sound in doctrine is that church? And listen, if a church is sound in doctrine, then there's going to be times where the preacher steps on your toes. There's going to be times where you hear things that agitate you, frustrate you, convict you. But that's what we need. We need churches that will just preach the word, regardless of respect of persons, regardless of how it's received, and just be faithful. And so that's what Timothy has been charged by Paul just to preach the word. This great apostle says to young Timothy, just preach the word. The entire context of what we just read is talking about preaching. The verse is emphasizing preaching. In Titus, he says that his word is manifested through preaching. Preaching is important. Paul's charge to Timothy was fourfold. Timothy was charged to preach every part of the word of God, whether it was popular or unpopular, in season or out of season. Second, Timothy was to reprove or convince and persuade people with his preaching. He was to expose them for error, something that they were doing that was wrong or not in line with the Bible. That's to reprove. Timothy was to rebuke and to forbid the people of sin in his preaching. And then Timothy was to exhort or instruct the people with patience and truth how to get things right in their lives. The word preach means to proclaim and publicly announce or declare. We need preaching. We need the word of God to be preached. Richard Whatley said, "Preach not because you have something, because you have to say something, but because you have something to say." Don't just stand up and just say something just to fill time, but say something because it is needed, because the Lord lays it upon your heart. I love Abraham Lincoln. He's probably my favorite U.S. president. And Abraham Lincoln said, "When I hear a man preaching, I like to see him act as if he were fighting bees." He says, I like that kind of preaching. Preaching is the answer tonight. Let nothing take its place. Good legislation, I'm okay with that, but that won't change a nation. Good social programs, I'm good with that, but that won't change a nation. Good programs and even some financial support is good, but that will not change a nation. What is needed more than anything else in America tonight is good old-fashioned Bible preaching. That's needed in our lives today. And so Timothy was commanded or charged to preach the word. It means to proclaim or publicly announce or declare. The word itself implies direct, forceful speaking. A motivational speech is not preaching. A lecture is not preaching. I love to teach, but teaching and preaching are different things. And God told Timothy through the pen of the Apostle Paul, preach the word. Publicly announce and declare with force the word of God. And that's what we need to do in America tonight. That's what's needed in our church tonight. That's what I've been called to do, and that's what I need to rededicate myself to doing. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 61 and verse number 1, Isaiah called himself a preacher. A preacher, not a teacher, but a preacher. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus was a preacher. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, Noah was called a preacher of righteousness. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1, Solomon was called the preacher. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, Paul said that he was ordained a preacher. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14, we find that Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel. In Matthew chapter 3, verse number 1, we find in those days came John the Baptist preaching. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 2, Jonah was admonished to preach to Nineveh the preaching that God bade him to preach. Jonah wasn't to preach what he wanted to preach. Jonah was to preach what God told him to preach. I can't preach what I want to preach. I've got to preach what God tells me to preach, and I've got to preach Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. We've got to preach all of it. You can't shy away from certain parts of the Bible. The whole word needs to be preached. And Paul fulfilled his mission as a preacher. He said, "I preach the whole counsel of God." And that's what we need as Christians, as believers. We need to be in a church hearing the preaching of the word of God. Never get bored with preaching. Never despise preaching. It's the tool that God has used. I don't know why, but it's the tool he used. It's foolishness, right? That's what he says in Corinthians. The foolishness of preaching. It's foolish for one sinner to stand up to other sinners and tell them, "Hey, we're all sinners." It's foolish for one sinner to preach against the sins of another sinner. But when I'm preaching to myself as well. That's the word that needs to be preached. It's foolishness to the world, but to God, it's the power of God. Oh, how America needs preaching again. America needs preachers like Jonathan Edwards. Now, Jonathan Edwards was not a flashy preacher. He actually read all of his sermons, and most of it was monotone. He was a very lecturer, professor type preacher, but he had the power of God upon his life and made a difference. George Whitefield was a great and mighty preacher, and they said that he could be heard over a mile away with no PA system, but he had a powerful voice, George Whitefield. John Wesley was a great preacher. He preached and founded a movement that would get back to salvation by faith and not of works. And he made a difference. Of course, his brother was responsible for many hymns that he wrote. But John Wesley was a great preacher. It's said about John Wesley that people would flock to hear him preach. John Wesley himself said, and I quote, "I just set myself on fire and folks come to watch me burn." I like that. He says, "I just set myself on fire and folks watch to see me burn. He says, "I just preach the truth and let God deal with the results." We need preaching like Whitefield, like Wesley. How about D.L. Moody? We need preaching that will be after souls like Moody was. We need preaching like Billy Sunday, that baseball player that was called to be a preacher and went around preaching forceful, great sermons, calling America back to God. Charles G. Finney was a great evangelist, and oh, how he had the power of God upon his life, and he saw many revivals as he preached all across the Northeast, and particularly, I believe, if I remember correctly, he was from Ohio, and he had great, great revival meetings. J. Frank Norris was a great preacher in the early 1900s. He was a fundamentalist. He preached strong. Some more modern-day men are John R. Rice, Jack Hiles, Lee Robertson, Curtis Hudson, Tom Malone, and some others. Just men of great faith who preach, who believed in preaching. What is preaching? How can we describe preaching to you? Well, tonight I want to try to describe it to you. Preaching is teaching with a tear in the eye. Preaching is truth on fire. Preaching is the word of God in the hand, the fire of God in the heart, and the zeal of God in the soul. Preaching is the gift of God wrapped in an excited voice. Preaching is the moral conscience of a nation. Preaching is the soul of the church. Preaching is the throne room of society. Preaching is the scepter and crown of the preacher. Preaching is the moral level of the succeeding generation. Preaching makes a difference. Preaching will change a nation, and we need preachers today. Our country is hurting because we do not have preachers. And when I say preachers, I don't just mean people that stand behind a pulpit. I mean preachers. I mean preachers who aren't afraid, as I said this morning about like John the Baptist, just to tell the truth. Just say it the way it is. And I think people are actually dying for that. I think people are so sick and tired of hearing politicians and other people say something and have it twisted in a certain way. I think people are just dying for just the truth. They might not like it, but they just want to hear the truth. They don't want it tied up in a fancy bow. They just want it plain and simple, the truth given to them. And that's the great need. We need a preaching. Preaching is effective. In John chapter 7, verse number 26, Jesus preached. Paul preached in Acts chapter 9. Apollos was a great effective preacher, Acts 18. Paul and Barnabas preached in Acts chapter 13 and Acts chapter 14. They preached and made a difference. All these men were different personalities. They had different styles. But it was how they spoke that made the difference. It was how they proclaimed, how they portray truth, how they magnify truth. Here's how they did it. Here's how they did it. They spake with boldness. They spake with boldness. What made these men that I've mentioned, like Edwards, Whitefield, Wesley, Moody, Sunday, Finney, Spurgeon, Norris, Rice, Hiles, and Robertson, and Hudson, what made these preachers effective is that they were bold. They didn't beat around the bush. They weren't afraid to say the truth. And that's what we need. We need preachers that will just tell the truth. They need to have the boldness of God. Well, how do you get the boldness of God? Do you psych yourself up? No. Do you practice that sermon 20 times in a week, so that way when you come to the pulpit, you know it so well that you have great confidence to preach it? No, that's not bad, but that's not what gives the people power and boldness to preach. Acts 4, verse 31 tells us what it is. Acts 4, 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Being filled with the Holy Ghost causes a preacher to stand up and speak the word of God with boldness. We need to be bold. I mean, if the world can be bold about their sin, if the world can be bold at mocking God, cursing His name, despising His people, then why ought we be silent? Why should we be silent? Why should we be timid? We ought to be bold because we have the answer. All of God's great preachers that made a difference were anointed with the fullness of God. They were anointed by the Holy Ghost through prayer, and they had boldness to preach. A preacher must constantly be praying for and talking about the need to be filled with the Spirit. That's why, number one on my list, the first P, every single day, I fall on my face and pray for power. Because I can't do it. I can't pastor this church. I can't be the husband I need to be. I can't be the father I need to be. I can't even be the neighbor I need to be without God's power. I can't be a witness without His power. I've got to have the power of God. And we all do. Each and every one of us. Preaching is the great need. And tonight, some people get more excited about preaching than others. Right, Brother Angel? Some people get more excited about preaching than others. But listen, you ought to thank God that that excites Him. But it should excite more of us. You know what bothers me? What bothers me is that a 300-pound guy can go to a football stadium, take off his shirt, paint it green, stand out there when it's 20 below zero, and a guy can be so excited about a stupid football game, but then God's people aren't excited about the Word of God and preaching. And we ought to be excited. There's nothing wrong with saying amen. There's nothing wrong with saying hallelujah, praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with being exciting about the preaching of the Word of God. They're excited about a stupid football game, but that football game doesn't do anything for their soul. The Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God works at the soul. And we as God's children ought to be excited. We ought to desire to be in church to hear the preacher. Now, you don't have the greatest preacher, I know that, but you do have a sincere one. I can give you that. I might not be able to give you the most eloquent preacher, but I can give you a sincere preacher that loves God with all his heart and is going to try to love you with all his heart. And I can give you that, but even if I couldn't give you that, just the fact that this Word of God is preached and magnified is enough for you to say, I'm going to church. I'm going to church. I might not like the messenger very much. He may be ugly and he may be too tall. He may be too loud, or maybe he's too quiet, or maybe he has horrible jokes, whatever it may be. But I heard that. Amen. But I'm not going to hear a man speak. I'm not going to hear a man's opinion. I'm going to hear the Word of God preached. And that's what we ought to be in church for. Let me give you a few practical applications. Five quickly. You can write them down. We don't have it on the screen for you. Number one, whatever it takes, get under old-fashioned, Spirit-filled, Christ-honoring, sin-hating, soul-winning, hellfire preaching. I worry when I hear people belittle hellfire preachers. That raises an alarm. What's wrong with hellfire preachers? I mean, what's wrong with telling the truth that there is a literal fire? If there was a house on fire next door to where you lived, I think you would run out. Of course, corn line would run, but I think you would run out and try to scream and yell and tell those people that you need to get out. Your house is on fire. You probably would raise your voice and scream a little bit and tell them that there's danger. So there's nothing wrong with a hellfire damnation preacher. Actually, because we don't have as many of them as we used to have, that's why our country's in such a mess. We need more of them. But we need old-fashioned, Spirit-filled, Christ-honoring, sin-hating, soul-winning, hell-firing preachers. We need that. So you need to get in a church that has that. You need to go to a church where at least the pastor believes in that. He might not be a very good fiery preacher, but if he promotes fiery preaching, then he's worth going to listen to. He's worth going to hear. He's worth being under that ministry. Whatever it takes, get an old-fashioned, spirit-filled, Christ-honoring, sin-hating, soul-winning, hell-firing, preaching church. And if it requires you to drive 45 minutes, if it requires you to drive an hour, it's worth it. It's worth it. I'm just going to say something. I heard, and we lived out in the country, and so this was, I heard this over and over again in 12 years of pastoring out in the country. Pastor, I would come more, but it's just too far. It's just too far of a drive. It takes too much gas money to go. And yet these same people will go and drive 45 minutes an hour to go to the mall, but they won't go to church because it's too far. It's so far. Listen, if you can find a good church, you go there. And if you have to drive a little distance to get there, then you get there. But you do whatever is possible, whatever you need to do to be in the right kind of a church. Listen, I'm going to say this. I believe it's more important that you find the right church than you have the right job. Let me explain what I mean by this. I have known fathers who've gotten a promotion. They took their family out of a good, vibrant, Bible-believing, sound church. They took them out of that church. They moved to an area for a relocation of a job where there was no good, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church. They sacrificed the spiritual well-being of their family for more green, filthy paper. You've got to do whatever you... The most important thing, if you ever think about moving a long distance, you ever think about moving out of the area, the number one question you need to ask yourself, where is a good church? And you get yourself within the location of a good, Bible-believing, King James preaching church. Number two, listen to old-time religion preaching on the internet. We have so many tools today that could help us. But listen to old-time religion preaching on the internet. One place I like to go is preachthebible.com. It's out of a ministry in California, but they have just old-fashioned preachers on there. The Jack Trebers is the pastor of the church that runs that app or ministry, that website, and they just have the old timers there preaching the doctrines of the faith, fundamentals of the faith. Do whatever you can to get yourself in a good Bible believing preaching church, but also in your spare time, listen to good men of God. And if you're not sure, then you can ask me and I'll give you my advice and my opinion. But listen to good men of God. I love 90.5 and it's a good radio station and they have some good preachers on there, but that's limited. There's a few good of I enjoy like the evening time. Sometimes we'll go out during the evening and I catch little parts of different messages. But if you can find yourself a website where there's good old-fashioned preaching, whether it be an app or a website, that'll help you in your Christian life. Listen to old-time religion preaching. Number three, pray for and encourage today's preachers. Pray for and encourage today's preachers to return to old-fashioned, spirit-filled, Christ-honoring, sin-hating, soul-winning, and hell-firing preaching. The worst thing you could do is to get upset at Pastor Erickson because he preaches a little bit of a controversial message or a fiery message or a harsh message or a hard message. And listen, I've got one coming, just to warn you. I've got one coming, and it's probably going to upset some people. Except for you, Justin. Don't worry about it. It won't upset you. but it upset me. It would have upset me when I was a younger Christian. But the worst thing you can do is attack the preacher that's trying to give it to you straight. And I think that's why a lot of preachers change, why a lot of preachers compromise, why a lot of preachers, you know, go wayward, because they have so much pressure from within the church to lower the standards, to lower the convictions, not to preach so hard, not to preach so long, not to be so radical, so fanatical about it, not to just not to be controversial in your preaching, and that can hurt a pastor, the best of them. It was one of the things that surprised me. I've been in the ministry for 25 years now. I count the day I surrendered to the call to be in the ministry as my first day in the ministry, so 25 years. I've been in full-time ministry since I graduated in 2004, but so if you want to count 21 years, I count 25 years, because even when I was in college, I was in ministry, preaching on the bus, preaching in nursing homes. I didn't wait till after I got out of college to start the ministry. I was in the ministry while I was in college as soon as God called me, the year 2000. And so I've been at it for a little while, and one of the things that surprised me is the constant, everyday pressure from within and from without, from Satan, to just to lower the standard, to give in to the pressure and the desire to be liked. Listen, preachers are human. You think I want you mad at me? Of course not. But I might preach something that makes you mad at me. When that happens, you ought to thank God that I'm willing to risk getting you mad at me because I believe the truth that much. And I love you enough to tell it. And so we ought to pray for preachers. Oh, I covet your prayers. As your pastor, I need your prayers. I need your encouragement. I need your encouragement to just keep it right. I need your encouragement to just stick with the old time way. Listen, I'm not wavering on my convictions. I believe them to the core. But when you know you have preacher that are people that are praying and encouraging you, it makes it a little bit easier to face the temptation. So it's important that we pray for preachers, not just our church, but for other churches as well. That's why on Wednesday night, we start praying for preachers, because preachers are neglected, I believe, in prayer. We need to be praying, not just for missionaries. Of course, missionaries have it tough as well, but also pastors. And of course, missionaries are preachers, and they need our prayers as just much as pastors do. But praying for preachers, that's number three. Number four, read books from great men of God of the past. Read books of great men of God from the past. I'm not saying that there's not some good in some of the newer stuff. I do have some newer, what they would call newer books, newer ministry books and commentaries and those type of things. But to me, the greatest books that have been most helped to me are the old-time books. One of my great authors is R.A. Torrey. His books have been so helpful, especially his books on the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about books like that, Charles Spurgeon, E.M. Bounds, Finney, and the list can go on and on. But try to stick with the books of the past, great men of God who have been proven. You can find them all over the internet. Amazon is a good place to find older books, and there's another place called eBay. You can sometimes find older books there, but read books from the great men of God of the past. And if you have any questions about whether they're solid, that's what I'm here. You can ask me my thoughts, and I'll be honest to give it to you. But read great books from great men of God. Lastly, number five, as what they would call a lay person, as a church member, pray for the power of the Holy Ghost in your own daily life. Pray for the power of the Holy Ghost in your own daily life, your own daily conversations. And here's the reason why. Preaching is not a spectator sport. Preaching is, like I said, one sinner trying to connect with other sinners. And it doesn't matter how much I'm filled with the Spirit of God, how much I'm connected with God, how great of a truth I may have from God. If you're not given to the Spirit of God, if you don't have a listening ear for the Spirit of God, it takes both of us working together. I've got to be prayed up. I've got to be filled with the power of God, and you've got to be filled with the power of God. You've got to be filled with the Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can speak through me to you. And so pray in your daily life so you can get the most out of the preaching of the Word of God. We need a church that's built on Bible preaching. Yes, the Pentagon needs to be improved, but the hope of this nation does not rest in the Pentagon. The White House needs to be improved, but the hope of this nation does not rest in the White House. God knows the Supreme Court couldn't do more and use more improvement, but the hope of this nation does not rest in the Supreme Court. Congress needs improving, but the hope of this nation does not rest in the Congress. Our city halls need cleaning up, but the hope of this nation does not rest in the city halls. The United Nations General Assembly could use some house cleaning, but the hope of this country does not rest in the UN. If it was the preaching that saved Scotland under a preacher by the name of John Knox, it was preaching that spared England under George Whitefield. It was preaching that God used with Wesley and Spurgeon. It was preaching that spared America under Moody and Sunday, and it is preaching that will save America if she's ever to be saved. I don't know if God will give us another great revival. I can't say. I can't promise that. No, I don't think anyone can. But if we get back to Bible preaching, old-fashioned preaching, we can do one thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 says, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What we need in America is to please God. What we need in our church is just to please God. We need to make sure God is pleased. It was preaching that inspired Pentecost and that great revival, and it was preaching that saved Nineveh. May God take us back to old-fashioned, spirit-filled, Christ-honoring, sin-hating, soul-winning, Bible-preaching. It's the hope of this church, it's the hope of our nation, and it's the hope of this world. So Timothy, preach the word. Be faithful. Just keep doing it. Regardless of the results, regardless of the popularity of the message, Timothy, just preach the word. As long as I maintain my sanity, I'm going to try to do that as your pastor. I'm going to try to preach the word and give you what the Bible says, not what popular opinion says, not what I think, but what the Bible says. Let's see if we can't please God. Maybe tonight, God is in heaven saying, amen! And I bet you when God speaks, he's louder than Brother Angel. Okay? God's voice is a thunderous voice. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight. Lord, preaching is the answer. It's a foolish thing to the world, but to you, it's what pleases you. Lord, as your servant, as your under-shepherd, you've given me the responsibility to preach the word. Lord, I can't do that without your help. I do pray that you would continue to give me wisdom, discernment, power to preach your word. Lord, I pray that as a church family, we would just grow to love preaching, want to hear from you. Lord, that we would be mature about it and realize that you're trying to speak to us. I pray that we would be able to look past the human side of it and to hear from you, your still small voice, when it comes to preaching time. Lord, that you would speak to our heart. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be in church tonight to preach your word. Keep this church faithful, preaching the word of God. We ask you to bless our invitation. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.